just started raining. That's got to be the fuzz coming from my vest or something. I don't know what it is. It's just me. I'm fuzzy. Bear with the fuzz and the brilliantly intelligent technicians we have up in the sound booth. Hopefully we'll do something about it. If not, it'll just be a fuzzy recording day. I have my shepherd staff with me because we have something to do. A wise man once said, talk softly and carry a big stick. And I just decided to yell loudly and carry a big stick. It's real similar, just different. But we're going to have, at the end of the service, we're going to dismiss our guests and our visitors and our friends. And we're going to ask the members to stay, and we're going to approve our budget for the church today. And so the crew is coming after me. But in the meantime, while we figure out this fuzzy technical difficulty, we will dismiss the kids for Friends Church. And this is from anybody who's pre-K. Is it 4-year-olds or 3-year-olds that you have? 4-year-olds to 6th graders, we have Friends Church. So if you're in that category, or if you have somebody in that category you're wanting to get rid of for a little bit, this is the time. When I say break, you all go quietly and carefully. Ready? Break. There they go, quietly. Did you just shut me off, or do I need to stand behind the thing? No? Okay. Thanks. I'm going to check my battery. Battery's good. I'm going to unplug it and plug it back in. I think I'm going to unplug it. There's a button on it. Uh-oh. I think I'm going to leave it plugged in. Hey, can y'all bear with it? I mean, I can bear with it. There's worse things. I mean, what, you know, I think it's the, is it less than it was? Hey, listen, I'm going to take, is it the tie? I put this thing on because I tied my tie real short so it'd be fat up here, because all I know how to do is tie a skinny knot. So I tied it real fat, but it means it's real short. So if I take off my vest, maybe they'll take care of it, but I am going to look as goofy as all get out with a tie that only goes halfway down my belly. All I want to tell you is that it was planned, all right? That was not an accident. It was planned. We'll try that out. No? Now I feel embarrassed. We were going to have church today, but we decided not to because there were technical difficulties. No, we're going to have church. We're going to have church. Van's coming at me now. All right.
Again.
Check.
Is it still there? Still there? Good? Okay.
If it starts fuzzying right when I put it on.
It's all you, man. It's all on you, man.
After the service today, we're going to approve our budget or you know, we're going to vote on our budget. Maybe I'll not be so optimistic. We're going to do church business. When I was growing up, as a Christian, I didn't grow up in church, and I gave my life to the Lord when I was 19 years old, and I started going to church. My two least favorite times in church were the Lord's Supper and business meetings. I did not appreciate either of them. I still have trouble with the business meeting sometimes, but you know, they're necessary. The Lord's Supper I've come to fall in love with, because it's something Jesus told us to do. As I studied more and more into it, I see it's a way for people, His people, to connect with Him personally through just introspection and yielding ourselves onto Him as we make a public witness about who He is as our Lord and Savior. and then an opportunity to connect with the family of God. I've come to really love the Lord's Supper. Business meetings, I've still been a little skeptical on. Okay? But y'all, listen. The Lord's business is good. The Lord's business is good. The Lord's business is good. So even when we have to do things like vote on budgets, y'all, what that's saying is, this is what we hope to see and how to see God move through us, through our talent, through our time, through our tithing, through us. This is what we hope to see. So if you're a member of the church, when it's time to go and approve the budget, keep your seat. Greet our guests. Don't rush off like I just announced it's time for a tonsillectomy. Stay. Hear what God's doing. Give your voice in prayer. Give your voice in baby praise. Do all those things. But we're going to look now for our time together. We're not going to have the business meeting now. Amen? You're like, y'all looped us into a business meeting. We ain't doing it now. We're going to be in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And we're going to talk about three key words that have been coming to my mind over and over again as I think about this year at Christ Community Church, 2013 at Christ Community Church. There's at least one of these words I think that a lot of people here are going to have a problem with. That's all right. I hope I can explain myself thoroughly. If not, you can throw things at me afterwards. It's part of the reason why I got to stick. Can bat those things away if necessary. Listen to this. Picture, a beautiful picture of the church. Have y'all ever got a beautiful picture of the church? I know we come to church and we have our church experience, but have you ever got kind of an exalted, high and lifted up picture of what the church can be as the Spirit of God moves through those who have been changed by Jesus Christ and they yield themselves fully onto Him? How they can change the world? You know, and I sit here as a pastor and say, you know, I'm not even looking to change the world. It'd be an awesome thing to see change in Grenada. And even that might be too big. It'd be awesome to see change in my neighborhood. It'd be awesome to see change through Jesus' name in my home. The changes that still need to happen. And I don't even have to go that broadly. I want to see Jesus make changes in me. And I'm going to tell you, that's part of what God does through the church. Changes everyone from yourself all the way through your community. And in the case that we're going to read, even changes the world. What an awesome opportunity we have. It's an awesome thing. It's this passage where I see some, where these reoccurring words, and I look at this verse and I say, they had it. They modeled these words that keep coming to my mind. And so I'm going to read this passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 47. And this is what it says. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let me pray for us. Father, we know, I trust and I pray we know, that we serve you, the exalted God of all the universe, the world, mankind. That we serve the risen and exalted and glorified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid his life down for us and who gave, who invested, who made and mobilized his people. So, Father, we ask that as your church, those who have been called out in this world through your name, called to serve, called to witness, called to praise. We've been called out by you. Father, that you would equip us, continue to equip us, to lead us, to challenge us, so that your church would be a place of glory for you from this day on and forevermore. Lord, that your church would be a glorious church, a bride without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Lord, that we would be how you'd want us to be. Do that work in us, Lord. Prepare our hearts. Lord, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I bring the shepherd staff out because there's a direction that we need to go, and these things we need to hear. The first word that keeps coming to my mind, and has been coming to my mind really since late last year, is invest or investment. That there needs to be an investment. To simply define investments, when you commit something, usually it's talking about finances, but you commit something in order to gain or earn something. Now, honestly, money or finances would be a good place to put that and keep this term. Let me tell you about a conversation I had over at Faith Baptist Church in Charleston. You know, we're doing a work there. I'll talk a little more about that again later. But we're doing a work there, and I had a conversation with one of the men. And we were talking about just the realities of what it takes to keep a building, even if that building doesn't have any programs going on. There's no paid staff. There's no programs that require any money. It's just a matter of having a building. Can you think of some of the financial needs in just having a building? Well, you have electricity in that building. You have water into that building. There's different things. That building sits on about 4 acres of land. So there's things that need to be mowed. There's things that need to be maintained. You know, there's things like that that are needed. Well, as I talked to this gentleman, he said, I don't give any money to the church. He was a member. I said, okay. He said, well, I give it to, you know, there's some needy people who live around me. He said, there's a needy family, so I give them some money. I said, well, that's cool. No doubt, that's cool that you give, you know, you see somebody in need and you give them money. But do you know that God designed the church to help people? To help a whole lot of people. So you can take and invest your money, because we all have a limited amount of investment, and you can give it to one person and one family, and you can help them out. But if you, through your investment in that one person, and you as a member neglect the investment in the church, all the people that the church can help, they can no longer be helped. You know, you put food on that one person's table, and that's awesome. How many families? Now that church has a food pantry, as our church does. It doesn't cost any money. It's actually a different entity that meets in there. But you know, I was there when there was over 100 people there to get food from that food pantry. The Sageberries were there seeing that. That was back in that's a while ago, summertime. Whole place was filled up with cars, people coming to get food. But if that church closes down, what happens to that food pantry? That also closes down. There's not another place that they could afford to have it. There's not a place where it can go. My point in talking to this man was this: make a wise investment. You can invest your money in one person and help them out. You can invest your money into the church. You're helping all these people out, and you can invite that person who needs help to come to the church, get food from the food pantry, and be helped. You know, you can give in such a way that you're helping many people, not just a few. Christ Community Church, God wants us to hear that. Let me tell you what happened. And not that I was in this guy's business, but it's a small enough church that you know. Over the next couple Sundays, all of a sudden there was a $100 bill in the plate. It was one of those blue ones, so it caught my attention. $100 bills catch my attention still anyways. I'm not one of those rich folks where I look at a $100 bill as if it's a single, you know. It catches my attention. I see all those zeros, and I go, wow, that's pretty cool. Well, I didn't say anything. I didn't pull out and say, hey, somebody made a mistake, because usually this doesn't happen. That man ended up coming to me a couple weeks later, and he said, hey, I heard what you said. You know, now he's going to be trying to get those people that he was helping to come, and he still may help them to give them food and do these things, but he made an investment in the same place where Christ has made an investment, by the way. Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. What an investment. How much money is that worth? It can't be priced. But I want us to think about that. Christ Community Church, what's our investment? I've only been talking finances so far, but we need to talk about finances. We're going to be talking about a budget. Y'all, listen. Money don't save people. Money don't really, doesn't change lives. But money can provide the tools for the mission and the vision that's dedicated to doing those things. Money can provide a place where we can come a little more comfortably to hear the gospel. Truth is, we can preach the gospel outside. Van and I used to go to the University of Memphis and preach the gospel just to people who were passing by. And we knew when we'd get a further witness, if they would stop, then we would talk a little more. Half the time they stopped, they wanted to argue. Half the time they wanted to argue, I argued with them because I wasn't very smart. Van, on the other hand, he would just keep reading the Bible to them no matter what they said. They'd argue with him. Well, you know, God's not real. God's just phony. And he's like, well, you know, it says, for God so loved the world. And he just didn't get off the key, man. He stayed giving them the word. And I was like, I'll tell you something, man. And, you know, but the point is, we can preach. We can do this stuff anywhere. But if we're going to be a church, if we're going to be a church with a place, if we're going to be a church with a program, if we're going to be a church that wants to reach people in an organized fashion through this, we're going to have to make an investment. And it's going to have to be financial. And it's going to have to be time. It's going to have to be where we sit down with our own budgets and say, what are we going to do? What are we going to invest in? What would you be proud at the end of your life to say, all my money went to blank? What would you be proud to say? Not that pride is the highest of motives. But can you imagine at the end of your life, you said, you know, all my money went to bills. Woohoo! All my money went to golf. All my money went on vacation. All my money went to the buffet. I'm serious. All my money went to the buffet. No. What would it be? Even you could say, well, I have children and grandchildren. That's cool. All your money went to your children and your grandchildren. Cool. You need to think through, because there's going to come a time, you're going to come to an end of your money, and you're going to come to an end of your life. You need to figure out how you want to spend both of those things. And so I'm here just to remind you that if you're looking to make an investment with your life and your money, follow God in His investment. He gave His life. And it says, with the life of Christ, He's given all things. He's given that for us. Listen to the investment of the early church. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them as anyone had need. That's a crazy investment. I would be almost embarrassed. I would be embarrassed. I don't know if it's because of my lack of faith. I don't know why. It's just, I think, our culture. I would be embarrassed to suggest that we sell all that we own, pool it together, live together, work together to save this community for Christ. I'd about be embarrassed to even mention it. Y'all would probably laugh me out of here. I'd need this stick. Okay? All these pragmatic questions would come up. Where would we live? How would we live? What would we do? How would we get from place to place? What would go on? And we'd get all nervous. Men like to fix things, and they'd be trying to how to fix this plan. That won't work. It's not practical. Women want security, and they want to know, make sure they're going to be safe, and their baby's going to be safe, and they're going to want to know, how are we going to eat, Brother John? I don't know, man. All I know is that this church made a crazy investment with each other for the promotion of the kingdom of God. I don't think God's asking us to live communally. That's not what I'm preaching, but I'm preaching that He wants us to make an investment and that you don't have to worry about outgiving Him. You don't have to worry about becoming the envy of all the churches of the world either,
because this first church really knocked it out of the park. But if we're going to be at the church, there needs to be an investment, a commitment, to commit in order to earn. To commit in order to earn. What do you earn when you commit to the church? What's the win? If we used investment language, you know, we invest a certain principle because we want a certain return. We want a certain yield. If I said, if you give me $100 today, I'll give you $1,000 in 2 months, is that a good return? Yeah. If it's not, I want to know where you guys, you know, I want to get my money where you all have it. That'd be great. If I told you, if you give me $100 and I give you this red satin cloth and you put it under your pillow and you'll get tenfold, hang up the phone on me. Anyways, I'm sorry. I had to go there. That stuff's not real. Don't fall for that stuff. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What's the return in the church? We're asking, if you give financially, do you receive back financially? That's not necessarily the return. So what's the return? Let me ask you this, greater than, less than. When you invest in the body of Christ, is your return greater or less than financial return? Don't give me church answers now. If you don't want, if you feel a little skittish about it, you don't have to answer. I just want you to think about it. When you give financially to the church, is your return greater or less than the finances, that the principal you put down? That's how you tell if something's a good investment or not. I'm going to put down a certain principal, certain amount, and I hope to get in return something more valuable. So when you invest in the church, is your return more valuable than money or is it not? Let's think about briefly what that return is. I put a verse at the bottom of this. This is in general, and this can go for all of these. But speaking of God, when it says, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Let me tell you, when we invest in the church, when we invest in the body of Christ, we become part of that which brings glory to God through His church. Is the glory of God a greater or less than return than money? In the realm of eternal life, would you rather be the one who's holding all the cash or the one who says, my life has been giving glory to God? Where would you rather be? Would you rather be the one who dies with the most toys? Or would you rather be the one who is ready to see the King they loved and invested in their whole life? Think about those things. Think about those things. Let's also keep this in mind. I'm preaching this. We have a church program. We're going to pursue that. We're going to pursue having a place to meet as a church. Christ Community, you guys who've been here, you know, we've had, you know, the where we're going to meet is just as fun as finding out anything. It's like the mysteries of heaven. We know where we are now. Where are we going to be next month? Find us. I just know we'll be. I trust we'll be. We have land down there, but building stuff is crazy expensive. This building's for sale, but it's crazy expensive too, so I trust we got a good bit of time. But my point is, you know, we're going to have these things to use for God's glory, but we need to see the investment. We need to be the investors that say, you know what? God chose us at this time to make this happen. What an awesome thing. What an awesome privilege. That's the first word, invest. Let me tell you a little bit more about the reward is, because I like that. Jesus spoke a lot about rewards. Somehow in the church, we think we should do everything selflessly with no thought of reward in return. But Jesus spoke of rewards. Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul spoke of rewards. He said to those who came to Christ through his ministry, it's like you're a jewel in my crown. You're the joy of my heart. Did you hear that? Those who come to know Christ through that ministry that you invest in are like jewels, treasure, a joy. Have you seen somebody who's come to know the Lord? I was so humbled and flattered yesterday having a discussion with a family that God used me in their life in just various ways. And they honored me by asking me to have a formal part in their daughter's life as they raise her up, to provide watch care and to be there and to kind of be an honorary uncle, godfather type thing. And I think to myself, you know, I got to be involved in this family because the ministry of Christ, what an awesome joy and a privilege it is to see people mature in Christ. What an awesome thing it is, church, for us to take people who don't hear Jesus outside of bad words and who don't hear the name or the word God outside of bad words, to bring them in here, give them spiritual food, give them things that they can't find other places. What a reward! Is it greater or less than your money? Man, what are we going to live for? What did it appear that this church here lived for? What was their investment? One another. They lived one another. They gave to one another. They had that one another. What about for us? Isn't that another thing? You know, when people invest in something together, it draws them together. Common interest, common aspect. It's a great thing. We have a little board out there. I don't know how well it's working yet. Mike may know. Sarah, my wife, may know. But it's a have and a needs type bulletin board. We have some other things on it now. But if somebody needs something, they put a little, write it on a paper. Family needs bed. Somebody will see that and say, hey, I have a bed. And they help out. You know, somebody might have an extra fridge. You know, have a fridge. Hey, I need a fridge. You know, and it's just one of those things. It's how it works. You know, Mike actually runs a ministry that's kind of based on that. I don't want to throw any unwanted publicity his way, but, you know, he has a storage place that has things for people who are in need. I found myself in need and have been helped by Mike. Who else? If you had a need and Mike had something for you that was gathered through the body of Christ, raise your hand up just for a moment. All right. There's three of us. Well, Mike, if you would stop being so lazy and get out there. Mike doesn't have a lazy bone in his body. So I'm teasing. But there's an investment in one another. There's care for one another. The next word is formalize. This is the word you might want to get me. I thought about Barbara Brower on the front row getting me, and I'm wearing my tie, and I'm speaking about formalizing. We need to formalize. We need to get formal. Well, you know, we're never going to be that kind of formal. Hey, we're never going to be that kind of formal. It freaks Christ Community Church people out sometimes when I wear a tie. But we're not going to get that kind of formal. We're not going to start preaching sermons on Sunday best and how you need to be dressed in a certain way. That's not what I mean at all by formalize. But this is nonetheless the word that keeps coming back to my brain. It means to give a definite form to something. Y'all, our church needs and is building a leadership structure like we've never had before. Okay? We're building that now. We took advantage of being a small church, a church of close friends, and that we never really formalized anything. We never really organized a whole lot of things. We just were like, hey, so-and-so will do it. LG will do it. Whatever it is, LG will do it. So-and-so will do it. That person has this. But nothing was ever organized. Nothing was ever formalized. Well, we outgrew that stage. We've actually outgrown that stage for some time now. A lot of the personnel, a lot of them have either moved on or changed. And it leaves us in a place where we don't always know what's going on. I'm afraid that some people that come to Christ Community might not even know, hey, what are they really about? What are they supposed to be doing? I get questions from people who come and have interest, legitimate, honest questions. Hey, is there any way to join this church? I haven't heard you talk about those things. Is there any way to do, you know, how do you get involved with this? How do you do, you know, what do you guys do? I just want to, you know, we're here. You know, I get a little guilty smirk on my face. Well, you know, we're just, you know, we're Jesus people. And that's awesome. We don't ever need to stop being Jesus people. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't hurt Jesus people to get a little organized. and get some structure. And that's what we need to do. That's something we've begun doing. We've started doing in the pastors because that's where it has to start. And I'm probably the biggest holdup and the biggest offender. I'm owing apologies to like half of Grenada. Did anybody here get a phone call about where the church bus was Friday? Raise your hand if you got a phone call about the church bus. Wow, more people than been hyped by Mike. Come on, Mike. And I won't go into the details, but for good reasons, I had lent the bus out to someone who needed an extra vehicle and did not go and look that the bus was signed out Friday. So 4 o'clock when the bus was signed out and the youth were going to get ready on their trip and they were here at the church, ready, a group of youth, waiting. No bus. They're going to the hockey game, you know, real spiritual enlightenment. No bus. No bus. Nowhere to get there. And so all of a sudden the phone calls start. And I wasn't ignoring my phone. I just left it in my car. So I had no idea that I had 27 missed calls. Because they called me. Well, later on that night, in a very separate community, the Emmaus community, is actually for Chrysalis, which is a high school retreat program. They had an event, and they asked me to be the preacher. And so that night, I went out there to be the preacher at that event. And one of the people asked me, "Have you got the bus back?" How'd you know? Who all'd they call? Oh, so they called Ray and Sue Harper. And they're going, they're like looking for me. They're like, "Hey, did you get the bus back?" I'm like, "Yeah, I did." "How'd you know?" And they're like, "Well, you know, they called looking for you." I'm like, oh my goodness. We got to formalize. That's not a bad word. Doesn't mean being stuffed shirt formal. It means getting organized. That's the way I'm meaning it. To get organized. To start putting some things together. Like, for instance, we have... Somebody asked at our family night supper, what happens when people don't show up? Do they just fall through the gaps? What happens to like widows and orphans? How do we minister to them? How do we do these things? And they were asking all these great questions, all of which our answer to is, hey, we're Jesus people. But you know what occurred to me? Not just when that was brought up, but we have groups in our church that get together. We have Sunday school that gets together. We have a Monday morning Bible study that gets together. I'm talking about groups of adults now. We have groups of children and youth that get together. But we have groups of adults that get together. 3 Sunday school classes. If you don't go to one, start coming, because I've just decided, and I don't know, I haven't run this by Miss Kit yet, but the Sunday school people are going to eat all the cookies. So that when you get here, because you've skipped Sunday school, no cookies for you. Get here, Sunday school starts at 9:30. If that hasn't given you any incentive, you haven't had her cookies. Yeah, I mean, all of them. We have 3 adult Sunday school classes. We have an adult Bible study that meets on Monday morning. We have a small group meeting on Wednesday night, our Wednesday night service for adults. We have every other week, we have a Thursday small group that meets. And what I realized was, here are some groups of people that if we got organized and we get to learn to know each other, we can start looking after each other. And all it takes is a little bit of organization. That's it. That's all it takes. And so that's what we're starting to do. It's exciting to me. It's exciting to think, what will people do as we really get to know each other again, as we really break through some of these barriers, we organize and we move forward. And it's not just, well, the preacher didn't come visit me. You all look around. Look around. This is time to participate. Yes. I mean it now. Look around. Come on now. Look around. No, I'm not that violent. Look around. Now listen. Here's something true about folks at church. They want somebody to pay attention to them. I understand that. They want somebody there when something happens to them. I understand that. They want somebody to return their phone calls, and I understand that. I'm not good at it, but I understand it. But I want you to look around. This is not all our church body, 1. 2, Not only do people want somebody to look after them, they want somebody to look after their immediate family too. Because even if you are a member of this church here, if you have an immediate family member who's in trouble, don't you want your church to help you with them? So imagine at least everybody in here has one other person attached to them that they care about a lot. I know that's little, but just imagine if you have one. So that this doubles then everybody we have here. Look, Jesus lives in me, but he has not made me Jesus, and I cannot walk on water or fly and ascend in the cloud. I can't keep track of everybody in there and then they're everybody's. But as a group, we can. We can. Because people ought not be left alone when there's a hard time. People ought not be left alone when there's those things. We can do it as a church. I can't do it as a person, but we can do it as a church. But we have to formalize. We have to make a definite thing. We have to get something going. So those groups are becoming more formal and organized so that we can meet the needs of this church. Let me tell you another. I'm forming ministries. I'm calling them the gate ministries. And there's two gate ministries I want to let you all know about. One is, I'm calling it gatekeepers. Gatekeepers. And if you might be interested in this, I need you to meet me at this church next Sunday at 7:30 in the morning. At 8 o'clock in the morning. Next Sunday, 8 o'clock in the morning. Because I'm going to just help, I need people to help me get this place up and going, to make coffee, to make sure the chairs are aligned, to get the place ready. We need help doing that. Now, you might not think you're a teacher. You don't got to be a teacher. Come with me. All the non-teaching folks, come on with me. Because we're going to train some folks to set the building up for service and to close the building down for service. That's a need that we have at this church. We just never formalized it. So it just, you know, it falls on whoever gets here. Van gets here first, he does it. Whatever he doesn't do, I do. And then we just do that. But you know what? There's a good opportunity for us to have good fellowship together and to do a ministry. So that's gatekeepers, okay? It also involved being greeters and ushers. When you came here the first time, did you get a warm greeting? Raise your hand if you got a warm greeting here the first time you came. Yeah. Amen. For all those who didn't raise their hand, we are testing you to see if you'd come back even if you didn't receive a warm greeting. You passed. We're glad you're here. Oh, but you know, giving people, you know, being a part of the greeters ministry and the ushers ministry to make people feel out welcome, that's going to be the gatekeepers. Now, I have another ministry. It's called Gate Crashers. Okay? Jesus said this about this church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Y'all, we have been given by the grace of God open doors into non-church places in our community. We've been given an open door into the police department, into the fire department, into the food pantry, into the Emmaus and Kairos communities like you wouldn't believe. We're going to start formalizing how we get in there and how we do that. If you're interested in taking the gospel and being a gospel, just by being there, when you go to the police station, we go there, we're not even there for 5 minutes. We walk in, we share a word with them from the Bible. We thank them for, I usually go to the 10 o'clock shift. I say, thank you for staying up so I can go to sleep. Thank you for working all night, making sure there's not trouble going on so me and my family can sleep a little better. Same thing with the fire department. Thank you for staying away from your home so that when I have a problem or my church people have a problem, they have someone they can call as on the other end of that 911 who's going to come and save our tails the best they can. Read a scripture to them, pray with them, out the door. But you know what makes a difference? And then when we have little breakfasts here in the morning, there's several of us who've been here. We go up there. I go up there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I say in 1 hour, at 7 o'clock, we're going to have some of the best biscuits and gravy you've ever had in your life. Miss Kip put some biscuits and gravy on them, and we've had the whole day shift up at Christ Community Church at 7 o'clock in the morning eating some biscuits and gravy, and it's really cool to see. You know, we kind of brag. I can brag to my pastor friends and be like, yeah, you know, we had like some drama. You know, make up stories. You know, business meeting gotten bad, and they had to bring the whole force out, man. No, that's not what it was. It was a good thing, man. They're all out there, and it's awesome. It's a good thing. You can be a part of that Gate Crashers ministry. If you want to be a part of that, come on. We had a Kairos meeting here Kairos means God's special time. They're going to go into the prison. Not everybody supports that. Not everybody could do that. But if you support it and you think you could, there is a captive audience. And for 3 days, we tell them about Jesus and give them cookies. You might say they like the cookies more than they like the Jesus. I bet you you're right in most cases. But what if there's even one who wants some of that Jesus and not just the cookie? I want Jesus and the cookie. I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. If you think you can be a part of those things, you come on. But that, see, that has to be formalized. I need to have a roster. Who can we count on to set up the church in the morning? Who can I count on to go with me or to learn and to go to the fire department and the police station to share a word with our first responders in this community? We got an open door. That's been won for us by the Lord. Now it's a matter of we're going to go through it. Last word. And it has to do with going through it. Well, let me show you how this church was formalized, this first church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers, praising God and having favor with all people, all peepers, all the peeps. They knew what they were doing. They were steadfast. If you're steadfast about anything, it means you're dedicated, means it's organized. They were steadfast about the apostles' teaching, about the word. They were steadfast about the fellowship that they enjoyed together, about the breaking of bread, which would have had to done in this part of the passage with the Lord's Supper and with prayer and with praising God. They were organized. They knew what they were going to do. They knew who had needs. They knew what their message was. Be saved from this perverse generation. They had some organization. We need that. Last word, mobilize. To put into movement or to assemble and make ready for action. This is my favorite part. Sometimes as a pastor, you don't get to do this. Sometimes if you do this too much as a pastor, you don't get to be the pastor anymore. But to be actually involved, I got into ministry to become a pastor because I like to do and get in the lives of people and see and preach and be active in ministry. There's a lot of things that as a pastor you got to do that have nothing to do with those things, believe it or not. But I'm looking and I believe God would have His people to actually be mobilized, actually be doing something. Not just having something, not just having a building, not just having programs, but mobilized into doing it. Daily, this church was mobilized. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, that I don't think was the Lord's Supper. That I think was them sharing meals together and having fellowship and getting to know each other. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They were active. They were mobile. Oh, and I talked about investment. On the financial side, more heavy. Mobilizing means what are you going to say you did by the end of your life? Did you actually get involved or did you just think about getting involved? Did you actually go places with God or did you just look at the postcards of other people who went places with God? What did you do? Did you live like a reality TV story? You watched other people do it? Or did you roll up your sleeves? My sleeve's buttoned and I'm not coordinated enough to do that. I'll pull it up. Did you pull up your sleeves and get involved in what God was actually doing? Or did you just talk about it? Or did you make excuses? Biggest excuse for not getting involved that I hear, one of the biggest, is, well, you know. It's always hard for people when they say, you know. My feelings were, well, they were hurt. That's cool. My feelings have been hurt too. I'm sorry, baby, your feelings are going to get hurt again. They're going to get trounced. They're going to be stomped. What are you going to do? Quit? Stop being who God called you to be? Nuh-uh. No, that's not Jesus, people. Thank God Jesus didn't stop when his feelings got hurt. You might say, well, his feelings didn't get hurt. Really? Have you read the gospel story? Did you hear about what his friends were like? His friends took off and left. I mean, you expect the enemy to punch you in the face. But do you expect your friends to betray you, to deny you, to desert you? Do you expect that? No. Everybody in here has had their feelings hurt. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Every person in here, myself included. You might say, but not you haven't had your feelings hurt here at Christ Community. Really? But so what? You're going to huddle in a hole? That's not the kind of church we want to be. There's no holes here. There's no caves to hide yourself away. God's looking at us. I believe his hand's on us. I believe we have favor with God. Not because we're Christ's community, but because, hey, because God's gracious. No place to hide. We're mobilizing. We no longer want to be those people who talk about reading the Bible every day. We want to be those people who read the Bible every day. We don't want to be those people who say, one day, when life settles down, I'll get involved. Uh-uh. Life ain't going to settle down. When life settles down, you'll have a new address. And it'll say your name. And it'll say, born this date, dash, died this date. That's when life settles down. Until then, it's just life. And it's unsettled, and it's unruly, and it's unforgiving. And you need to decide that you are going to be forgiving, that you're going to march forward, and that we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, no matter how bad it may hurt sometimes. Do y'all get me on that? Does that make sense to you? Man, we can't get nowhere if we quit. We're not an established church. We can't just say people, we're this church, and people just show up because we're that church. We're not that church. We've got to mobilize. We've got to do what he told us to do. Go, therefore, and make disciples. We're not the church that gets to stay, therefore, and make disciples. We're a going church. That's what mobilizing means. Go, or prepare to go. Real quick, I told you about Faith Baptist Church. It's in, you know, it's in Charleston. It came at such an inconvenient time for us. We had moved here. Finances are good if you look at the whole picture, because we've given to the building fund, we've given to the general fund. There's been a lot of giving, but we're falling short, that we don't have any money to spare. Okay? Matter of fact, we don't have, anyways, Carrie's looking at me going, we don't have any money. And yeah. And so all of a sudden they come and say, this church who is struggling needs help. It's in a community where not everybody, you know, if you're black, you're not welcome to come to every church. There's not mixing. It's like they feel like they have a country club whole thing when the whole church community. This was the only church in town that would welcome anybody and everybody. Would you please go help that church? Wasn't a convenient time. We're trying to figure out where we're going to do, how we're going to build. But I promise this. And I don't know how long we're going to be involved there. I don't know. But I know this. God put that on our lap. God put that in front of us to say, is it your kingdom that you're concerned with, or is it my kingdom that you're concerned with? Because it was a kingdom decision. Are you interested in reaching the lost, or are you interested in building a name for yourself here? What's your priority going to be? What are you going to actually do? And it's tough. It's still tough. Since we've been there, though, one girl has given her life to Christ. Just one so far. Let me ask a question again. Is that greater or lesser than any financial investment you might make? Okay. Just keeping that in mind. You know, we're starting to see a little bit of growth. Little tiny bit. But you know, that's how growth happens. Every kid in here wants to be, every young man in here always wants to be 6'2". He already wants to be grown. My son asked me for a cell phone. I think other people's kids are asking you for cell phones. Don't give them to them. I have no command from Jesus on that. I just think you ought not to. because I don't think parents are mean enough. And we get taken advantage of. Take a stick if you need to and say, no, no cell phone until you have a job that can pay the bill on that thing. Anyways, that's my little private soapbox. My point is this. We've got to be a part of what God's doing, not just in word, but in deed. And when we get kingdom opportunities, if we're going to say, no, it's got to be about us. It's not. It can't be about going out. It can't be about doing this. If we're afraid, something tells me then we need to really look at ourselves and say, who are we? We're a church that in the beginning thrived on missions and has gone to South America, Central America, and Africa. Well, if we've lost our heart so much that we won't go to Charleston, what kind of church have we become? You know, those are the kind of things. We actually got to go. Go. You ready to go? I mean, are you? It's time to go. It's time for us to go. It's time for us to move. It's time for you to kick in all that training God's invested in you. One of my brothers here is in training at his new job. How long have you been in church? Don't you reckon you're trained by now? Don't you reckon you're qualified to go? Could you think of anyone else more qualified to mobilize than you? You've been trained. You've been invested in. You've been saved. You've been transformed. Now go. Let's go together. Let me pray for us. Lord, help us. We want to go. We want to be about your business. Help us to invest. Help us to formalize. And help us to mobilize, because investment and organization without obedience and mobilization is a waste and a game. Help us, Father, to move, to go forward, to build your kingdom, to not be shy, to not sit aside, to not make excuses, not to play games, but to go forward. And Lord Jesus, go with us, as you say in your great commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Be with us, because ultimately we are Jesus' people and we want to be with you. And Father, I pray for the ones in here now. One, that are afraid. They're afraid of investment. They're afraid of formalization and organization, and they're afraid of mobilization and going. Father, deal with their fear and show them how love casts out fear. But I also pray for those who are sitting here and they know that they do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, you did not bring them here by accident this morning. I pray that you would convict their heart and that you would deal with them right here where we are. Y'all keep your eyes closed and your head bowed just for a moment. If you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have no idea why you would do any kind of investment or organization or mobilization. You have no idea what it's worth. But I want to tell you right now, you are going to meet God someday. And you're going to want to know that you've put your faith in the one who died for you. You want to know him. Not just get some kind of fire insurance. Not just get by with something. You want to know him. He's alive today for you and I to know and to love and to walk with. If you've never given your life to Christ, ask him. Ask him. Would you be my Lord, my Savior? Offer him your life. You gave your life for me. I give my life for you. And just pray in Jesus' name. Because he loves you. Something tells me that you're here because you've heard that and you know that in your heart, that he loves you. Well, now make the relationship true. Father, I pray for those who are wrestling with just that, a relationship with you. And all this other church stuff that I spoke of may seem like a bunch of mumbo jumbo. But Lord, it comes right down to the fact, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? And if someone's struggling with that greatest issue of this human experience, would you help them, Lord? Help them not to hide it. Help them not to sit on it anymore, but to give their life to you and to make it known publicly. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask if our ushers would come down this morning for the offering. And as they come, I'll just return thanks. Father, I say thank you again, and we look to you, the provider of our needs. We ask that you'd be glorified in this church body, and I thank you for these who are gathered today, and Lord, bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen.